Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting live
from an undisclosed location in the universe with Iggy Garcia
and Adrian Arts. Join us as we explore the holistic, metaphysical,
and the spiritual realms every Monday night at
7
p.m.
on WinthInsightsRadio.com.
Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia.
And I'm Adrian Arts. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. It's been a while. How are you?
Good, good. Well, we're into a brand new year now.
We kind of
took a little break there for the holidays. Now we're in 2018. So, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah, we are definitely going to go right through this year, too, it looks like.
Yeah. We made it to 2017. We both survived, so that's a good sign, like most of our friends have. So I want to welcome everybody to the show. Just want to say hi. We're back. We're on the air. We're going to try to talk about things and give readings a little bit later. But I want to welcome everybody to the new 2018. And it's a brand new start for some people, and you know, for some it's just another day. Other people, mm-hmm. The year doesn't start until March or so. So here at With Insights, we want to thank you for tuning in last year and listening to our podcasts through all the different shows that we've had. And Adriana's had her show, I had my show, Mark, Don, and then Gary had his show for a while, and then, you know, we're just all trying to do better and to share our thoughts and things in our lives. But we always start off the show and we always talk about the things we did this weekend and how things were. And I'll let you kick that one off. Let me know what you've been up to.
Well, what did I do this weekend? This is Monday, right?
It is Monday. That is correct.
It is. Actually, when it's cold, I am a sun sign, and I tend to want to hibernate when it's cold. So I kind of did that all weekend, I have to confess. But, you know, the holidays, I was pretty busy all through the end of December and then even up to last weekend, which was, you know, after the new year. But I really enjoyed relaxing this past weekend and just watched the movies and some things on Netflix a little bit, and I cross-stitched a little bit, just kind of homebody nesting. What about you?
I didn't do a whole lot. I've just been kind of just hanging low and just kind of doing my own thing. And like kind of like you, just kind of hung out, watched some movies, watched some interesting series on Netflix, which I usually don't do, but when I have a few moments, I sit down and I watch. And mm-hmm. I don't know, some people are like you like Netflix and stuff. So, but it's nice to watch. I watched some movies and I got just chilling and hanging out, and then just cleaning up everything around me, you know, just kind of getting rid of stuff that I don't need anymore. That's kind of been the project around here, just getting rid of old clothes, old papers, things that just don't serve me anymore. I'm just kind of moving on down the road. So, you know, pretty much
old underwear.
Haven't done too much. Yeah, old underwear.
Old
yeah.
underwear.
Yeah, I got to get rid of the whitey tighties. They're all gone.
I understand.
Underwear, just don't do it for me.
I kind of started, you know, last year too, going through some stuff downstairs and kind of sorting things, you know, certain piles to go to the Goodwill or you know, to a Dropbox where you can drop off good used clothes, and some things that I want to keep, but not a lot. You know, there's stuff I have downstairs that's just been packed in boxes for the 5-6 years that I've been here. And, you know, you get to a point where you say, well, exactly why am I hanging on to any of this? What is the point? Have I really just been that lazy for six mm-hmm. years that I didn't want to go through a box, you know? So right. I kind of hit that point here, I guess, and started going through some stuff. And it feels good, though. It does feel good to get rid of the old and kind of make room for anything new to come in. So, but it's funny that you said that about, for some people, New Year's is in March. Mine is actually, I consider, in March.
Mm-hmm.
My body and my mind tells me that my new year actually begins in March. It's not January. So this is, for me, this feels like the end of my year, you know.
Okay.
And I look forward to March, because that for me will be not only the springtime, the beginning of spring, but that is technically for me, that's what feels right for my new year. And things in my life start happening in March. My life is pretty dormant usually through the winter months, but come springtime, things will start, energy will start sparking around me in March. So I just go with it. For me, that's my new year. But, yeah, so I think that's why I kind of hibernate in the winter. This is technically, my body says this is the end of my year, so I'm kind of tired.
Well, it can be kind of hard on people in the wintertime, since the activity levels drop down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, it's like, you know, I'm outside doing something, but it's hard to do stuff. I mean, we've had this bitter, 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 bitter cold, too, for like, 2 weeks now?
Ever since Christmas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember being
there.
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
For sure.
It's just too cold. This panda bear does not like cold.
You're wanting to hide.
It's hard.
Too.
Yeah, well, you know, pandas, I'm a bear by nature, so eat my bamboo, climb a tree, find a warm cave, and just chill.
Yeah.
But I know it's been hard. Been hard for a lot of people. You know, this cold weather, it's been really challenging to to be able to maneuver and stuff. We had a situation in one of my dad's buildings where all the pipes froze because one of the tenants downstairs decided that she wasn't going to put her heat on, and she was going to disappear on us. And everything froze up. But we're fortunate that nothing ruptured, nothing busted. So we're lucky on that end. But just the disregard and the lack of disrespect for other people's things and, you know, property. It just blows my mind. I just can't quite put my finger around that or my mind around that, why anybody would even think that was okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that do think that. That's for sure. You know, because I wonder if it's just they were raised that way or... You know, does society make you that way? I'm not sure which it is.
I don't know. You know, I want to say, and I'm not a doctor, so I can't really, you know, analyze this person, but I think society may play into it. I think triggers, emotions, and certain things that happen to people throughout their life changes you. You know, we change into a very different person when we have certain situations and certain emotions that put us in a different state of mind, you know, because I don't think people necessarily do things technically on purpose to be malicious or evil or bad or whatever, but I think circumstances pushes people into certain places where they just kind of lock themselves into these emotions and these feelings, and then, you know, certain things trigger them. You and I've watched a show, it was called Mindhunters, you know, on Netflix. And I found that really interesting. For those of you who don't know what that show's about, it's actually about serial killers. And I had done a project on serial killers when I was in college, actually. I was doing a research paper. Why they felt that they were okay to do what they do. And, you know, in the show, it kind of addressed that. The biggest thing was that they don't believe that they're wrong. They don't believe that what they're doing is not incorrect. They believe it is justified, and what they're doing is all right. Al Capone is one of the subjects that I had to do paper on, you know, in that project. And Al Capone felt that he was actually giving service to the people in his community by doing, you know, the shady and the dark-sided stuff, you know, through the prohibition and creating speakeasies and different things. He was creating a service for people, even though it was against the law. So a lot of criminals, you know, serial killers, criminals, they do things, and because their mind is functioning in a certain way, and they just, you know, they lack some kind of empathetic gene or some kind of empathy, you know, about stuff, or, you know, and so I found it really interesting when I watched that show, how they were, the FBI was coming together, and they were creating this new program to study. It was kind of by accident. You know, I think it was kind of an accident, and I found it really interesting. Well, what do you think about that? I mean,
I think it's a great show. It's based on true crimes, and so anything that has any bit of truth to it, I'm always kind of interested anyway in true crime. You know, I watched the first few episodes, and when you know that this is real, you know that it's not just a fabricated show for network ratings. That this is actually based on real life events and people. It just makes you think, wow. For me, anyway, I was blown away, like you. It's just like, how is someone capable of doing this or having this mind and not having any compassion, mercy, empathy for the innocent people that they're, you know, hurting, killing, and doing this to? But for me, I just kind of think, because you had asked me, do you think someone is born that way, or that, you know, there's something in their life or society makes them that way? I personally think it's a little bit of both. I think there's something, whether it's lacking in their genes or something, it's like they're lacking the empathy or compassion or mercy, but also the circumstances of who or what they're raised around could possibly influence them more so.
Sure.
Because even a normal person that does have compassion, mercy, and empathy for others can be influenced by their surroundings or where they live or how they're raised. They can be influenced to do things. You know, a normal, on the average, good person can be. So I just kind of think it's a little bit of both. But they're definitely...
Yeah.
Their mind does not work, does not see that they're, A, in the wrong, you know, about it. Or if they know that they're in the wrong, they don't really feel any guilt about it or anything. So to me, that's just like lacking a lot of emotion there. Like somebody could turn a switch on and off or something. It's an interesting show. Like I said, it's based on real life events, you know, that happen. And I'm always interested in things that are based on true events.
Yeah, I just found it really fascinating because, you know, I ended up watching the whole show, the whole series last night. Just, I guess I binged. But you know, that's kind of where you get topics for your show and the shows that we're doing because, you know, human nature is really interesting. And the theme that I saw amongst these particular, you know, characters in these shows, which were actually really people who did this, is they all had some kind of trigger. You know, they were all being triggered by some type of emotional, you know, distress or some type of something that just moved them and changed them to be, maybe they weren't going to do something, but it was just other people's behaviors. They just didn't know how to actually deal with it. They didn't know how to deal, like, because the majority of these, you know, these characters, they actually had, they had mother issues, of course, but the biggest issue was the lack of a male role model in their family. Is that true or not? I don't know. That was just an observation on my part that just kind of felt, they felt disenfranchised from, you know, what love was. Like, what they didn't understand, they didn't have a capacity for love. And this, these particular characters seemed that they were all reaching out for love, and they weren't receiving the love in the way that they thought they should have. And so they basically went out and took, you know, into their hands, you know, what they thought that they were lacking, what they didn't have. And yeah, there were some issues where they were just really kind of creepy without getting into too much detail. But I found it really interesting that, you know, how they were triggered, you know, just little words would trigger them and set them off and put them in a state of mind where they would just be a completely different person. And I know a lot of us walk through life trying to change our lives, and we're trying to move forward and to get in certain positions and help ourselves. But then all of a sudden, one person comes by and says one thing to us, and it totally puts us back, you know, 10 steps back. You know, the power of a look, the word, or, you know, a statement, a belief. And, you know, human beings, you know, the words that come out of our mouth are very, very, very powerful. And every word we speak, you know, is very, to be very loving, or can be very detrimental to someone's, you know, growth. And so I found that pretty interesting, you know, watching these movies. And I found it in the correlation, how we move through life, you know, how we get angry. You know, I've gotten into situations where people in my life are triggered by my behavior, by my lifestyle, how I live, what I do, how I approach life, and they're just totally put off by it. And are they put off by it because I'm doing it, or are they put off because they can't do it, that they can't find that happy medium in their life? And I found that really interesting. So something I was been contemplating today, you know, so why do people get triggered by my style of living, the way I am? And I found that pretty, you know, pretty interesting. And I have some theories and some ideas, but, you know, it is, in the end, is kind of like we really got to live the best we can, and to, you know, give back to, you know, whoever's around us that we can. But we shouldn't really expect anything. I don't know. I don't think we should really expect anything. If we get it back, fine. If we don't, fine. We can't live with expectations.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people put expectations on other people on how they think they need to live their life, like they live their life or their parents live their life or whatever. And for me, that's unrealistic. I'm nothing. My life is nothing like what my parents' lives were like. You know, I shouldn't be expected to live like them because my past just has not taken me there. Each person to me is entitled to their own path that they walk. You know, they're entitled to their own life. They have to deal with things, of course, you know. It's when you're walking through life and a lot of people don't expect to have to deal with anything, and then they'll push it off on someone else to deal with it for them, whether it's their parents or their spouse or whatever. You know, that's putting a lot of expectations on other people to deal with your life, and that's not right. You need to deal with your own life and not expect, you know, someone else to do it for you. That's part of growing up.
Sure, and you know, no one can live your life.
Right, expectations. When other people put expectations on you about your life and what it should look like, they're projecting onto you what they think or what they saw in life or what they've experienced in life, and think that you need to be the same way. That's not how the world works. That's not how people work. That's not a realistic view of anything.
Right.
You get into a lot of problems when people put expectations on other people, whether it's in relationships or, you know, in a job, you have, you're expected, you do have expectations from your employer. They hire you and they have their expectations of what they want you to perform while you're at work. I get that. That, you know, as far as someone being able to have an expectation, your employer, if you work for someone else, has that expectation of, you know, what they want to pay you to do, how much you can contribute to the company and how it progresses. I get that. But in everyday life, in family life, in relationships, a lot of problems happen when other people put expectations on a person based on some either how they were raised or what they were around, or they use their parents as a role model, and why aren't you like my, you know, my dad was like this for the matriarch, you know, or the mother of the family. You know, that doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. Everybody's an individual. Everybody's different. Everybody achieves their goals in their lives their own way. And if you expect mm-hmm. them to do something different, then you're setting yourself up to be disappointed. You know?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why it's so important to, you know, guide your ship the best way you can. And, you know, then you invite people aboard sometimes and, you know, they challenge you, your belief systems. They challenge the things that you've created for yourself. You know, you've made a point earlier here just now about how, you know, we're raised and we have an upbringing in a certain way. I think sometimes we're raised a certain way, and then it's our job and it's our duty or struggle to figure out how we move from the things that we don't want to, you know, bring along with us. Because we learn a lot from our parents, we learn a lot from our grandparents and the people who, or the specific person who raised us. And then we have to make decisions for ourselves. Okay, does this work for me? It worked for them, or maybe it didn't work for them. Maybe it's just an illusion that it worked for them. And I think that happens a lot to people. They watch the person above them, their elders or whatever, and they say, well, this is the way it is. Well, I don't think it's always the way it is. I think it's a misperceived and, you know, something that's not looked at properly. And sometimes we get confused and we think that, you know, there's no way out. I know for me, coming from a family from Latin America, you know, we have hierarchy. And the hierarchy works pretty much that, you know, the dad's at the top, the mom, then the oldest child, and then such on goes down the line. And then, you know, when you come here to America, it doesn't necessarily work that way. It's a little bit different, where it's a little more individualistically, an individual society. We respect our elders, but not necessarily, their elders aren't always right. But here's the problem in our culture, my culture, we have to hope that our elder is correct in what he is giving us. And we, you know, we have to move forward. There's a lot of respect, but, you know, I find that the respect doesn't translate as well here, you know, as I see other family members from my country coming here and try to, you know, project that onto their kids. And the kids are, you know, they don't really buy into it. They can't really, they don't comprehend it because it's not part of the culture here.
Yeah, you have a point there. It's all in, it is past respect and how you treat your elders and whether or not you're going to listen to them or fall into their footsteps. You know, that is passed down from your parents, your grandparents. What I ended up doing was taking all the good qualities or traits, I guess, you know, being a hard worker, being dependable, being loyal, from my mother's teaching. My mother is, I always talk about my mom. For me, my mom was my mom and my dad. She was just, it was only whatever she taught me, that's what I took away in life with me when I left home. But I took a lot of the aspects of her. My mother was a very strong person. She's very, still is, very smart.
Mm-hmm.
She struggled and through life, and, you know, she had six kids. You know, she struggled by herself when she left my real father and brought us out here. Not just any woman can do that, can take six kids, never having worked, move out of state and start a life. But my mom did. And she did whatever she had to keep a roof over her head. She worked two or three jobs and went to school, you know. There was a lot of aspects. I didn't want that life. I didn't have kids, you know. I didn't want to. I saw all the struggles that my mom went through. I didn't want that exact life when I left to go out on my own. But I took aspects of her and her teachings with me. I still live a lot by how my mother raised me, with my morals, respect. I respect my elders. That's something that a lot of parents nowadays don't teach their children, is respect. And I'm the first one to say that's a big problem, because when they don't respect anyone else, they won't respect themselves. And it shows, you know, having lack of self-respect. So I like to think that I took a lot of, like I said, the good qualities that my mother taught all of us kids, and those are the ones I kept that helped me get through life. But my life now, I have, it is mine. It's not so old-fashioned in my thinking that I can't welcome change or try something new or experience something different out of the norm. I've always been that person that's been curious from the time I left home. I've always been curious as far as wondering about different things in life, good or bad, and experimenting just to see if I liked it or if it felt right, or, you know, just to experience it. So I'm very different in that aspect as far as, like, my mom. My mom would have never done a lot of things that I did. she just wasn't in her makeup, and it wasn't how she was raised. So.
Yeah. I know that, you know, when I, growing up in the home that I grew up, you know, creating your own world was kind of a difficult task. I know trying to create the self-awareness inside myself to, you know, to provide my, create my own world, I had to figure out how to navigate the waters that was already there. You know, it was pretty much embedded in that the family came first. It wasn't necessarily, it was about loyalty to the family. So here you are in the country that is, you know, the land of the free, you know, free spirit, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I went to school here, and here I'm living in two worlds, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, so how do I be me and still be part of them, you know, without giving up them and then just being me and then not have anything. Because sometimes it could be clear cut. Maybe it's just my family, I don't know. But anyways, in this particular scenario that I'm talking about, that's kind of how it was. I had to figure out how I could be myself amongst all these other people. And, you know, then it's a trigger. You know, those were really big triggers. You know, sometimes, you know, people will say to me, oh, you're lucky. Oh, you're this, and you have this, and you have that. And, you know, for me, sometimes when I hear them say that, it triggers me sometimes because, yeah, there's a beautiful aspect to that, to having that, that there's also another aspect of not wanting to be part of that as well, because there's like there's a struggle that you have to find yourself within all these people, and they're all doing it too. they're all trying to, brothers and sisters, cousins, and everybody's trying to find their way through it. And then eventually that family breaks apart and collapses to some degree because, you know, you want to be free. You don't want to be clones. And it's just been a challenge for me as I'm 50 years old, you know, and I'm still have some loyalty issues, you know, being there with my mom, my dad, and, you know, my brothers and sisters. Because in my particular life, you know, I'm supposed to be the elder brother and I'm supposed to be looked at or revered. But, you know, part of me doesn't want to be revered. Part of me doesn't want to be held up on the pedestal. Part of me doesn't want to have to carry that burden. But it's expected to some degree. But I found a way to, you know, figure it out and move through it and not let it consume me. But it took a while. It took a while to get through that, to navigate those waters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you probably felt pretty torn quite a bit, didn't you, between the two?
Trying to raise my family.
What was expected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I had my birth parents, birth family, and then I have the family that I create with somebody else. And then, you know, it was kind of a conflict sometimes. It was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But let's take a break real quick, come right back and continue the show. We hope you're enjoying our topic today, and we shall return.
Okay.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Welcome back to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia with Adriana Arts. We are here talking about triggers and different things that cause us to change or not change. So we hope you're enjoying the show. But, you know, kind of recap a little bit about what we're talking about. We talked a little bit about, you know, a show we watched, you know, on Netflix, you know, about the Mind Hunters and how people, you know, have a lack of empathy and love for others. And then the trigger aspects of how we try to change our world, but sometimes we can't because part of us is conflicted. Part of us is, you know, believes that if we step outside the boundaries of what the world has created, then we're the oddball. We're the oddball, you know. It's not everybody else. Everybody else is normal. You're just weird because you're stepping out. But it happens a lot. Society likes to frame us all into a little box sometimes.
Yeah. Society likes us in a little box. That's where society feels comfortable.
Smaller. Must be smaller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I'm grateful that we have been able to have freedom of expression. And there are, you know, different ways that you can express yourself, whether it's through art or music or writing or dance or speaking on a radio show, you know, but
yeah,
grateful that we do have still a freedom of expression, you know, because it does help you navigate through some of the things in life.
You know, you make a great point that we have freedom of expression here. There are some other countries that you can express yourself the way that we are without some kind of consequence or some kind of penalty for that. And, you know, and that's fantastic. And that's appreciated here in this country.
It should be.
I know.
I don't know that a,
I know,
know
I appreciate
that a lot
it.
Of people. Yeah, I don't know a lot of people appreciate it like they should, but yeah. You know, I love this country.
Yeah,
I
me
will be
too.
The first person to say that I have no desire to live anywhere else. This is my home, you know, and there isn't, I don't think, anything that I wouldn't do for my country if my country needed me. I really don't. I don't think you hear a lot of women talk that way, but I feel that way. I always have. A lot of people ask me, why don't you've had plenty of opportunities to go visit here, you know, overseas or even live overseas. There was opportunity in my life. If I wanted to do that, I could have. And I've just never had no desire to ever leave. But I'm grateful for the men and women that fight for our rights to express ourselves, for our right to be here. A lot of people have lost their lives for us to be able just to sit here and be able to talk like we're talking on an internet blog, and you're right. A lot
mm-hmm.
of people
mm-hmm.
in other countries, they don't have this. So
yeah.
I know there's a lot of wrong that goes on out there, you know, here in our country, but there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of rights out there too. And
sure.
There are people out there that love and appreciate living here, and I happen to be one of them. So I don't know why.
Yeah,
I
love living here
it?
Too. I'd love to visit other countries. That's the only difference between you and I. But I wouldn't mind visiting. I don't think I'd want to live anywhere else in this stage of my life now. Not really. I mean, it's just there's just too much, you know, stuff that goes on here that I enjoy. And there's so many different states here that you can just get any kind of climate you want, be in any kind of situation you want, you know,
right.
without getting into the political
right.
scene, which is, it doesn't, to me, the political
right.
scene, just the political scene. I don't want to get into that because that changes with administration. And so that's opinion and ideas and ideologies, but America in itself, America, 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 what we see every
mm-hmm.
day and what we walk to the store, go shopping, buying gas, meet the people in the street, that doesn't change. Those people are always there. Those people
right.
are struggling. Those people are doing the best they can. Those people are, you know, are trying to friend other people. They're trying to make it, they pay their bills. They're trying to do all the things that, you know, you and I do. And, you know,
yeah.
sometimes that's all we can do. That's all we can do is just be in that place and try to better our lives. And to better our lives, well, it's going to take some changing and some ideas and some kind of different type of thinking. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
but for me, America is a beautiful place. And, you know, like you said, it has its parts, you know, that you probably don't want to really look at sometimes. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, the good parts outweigh the bad parts a lot more for me personally.
I think so. I look at, you know, other things going on in other countries and I wouldn't take it over living here ever. So, you know, we don't have it nearly as bad as a lot of other places do.
Well, our city's not blown to smithereens, you know, where we don't have any water and we don't have any food. We don't have to worry about walking down the street and wondering where our next meal's coming from. You know,
yeah.
there are people who are,
you know,
are ravaged or living in ravaged cities.
Mm-hmm. I do struggle with our homeless that we have here. I do struggle with that. We were talking the other day, you and I, about this, and I don't think that there's any reason why we should have any homeless people on our streets. That I struggle with. Anybody that's homeless or hungry, you know. I just think that there has to be some way that we could, I don't know what we could do, but there has to be some way that we could do something to where that just doesn't exist here. You know, whether it's all the
sure.
leftover food from every grocery store goes to, you know, even if a community volunteered to build huge shelters or something somewhere, and leftover food from all the grocery stores or the neighborhood supermarkets mm-hmm. gets donated to, you know, people volunteer to cook and, you know, some kind of housing. I don't see why we can't do something like that. Every state here. I just don't. I don't understand that.
I see what you're saying. I got you. Because I mean, there's a lot of surplus food that goes and gets thrown in the dump. And that I know for a mm-hmm. fact, because I used to have a junk company, and how many times I had to go to certain stores and I had to take some of their stuff and take it to the dump because it was just expired,
yeah.
you know, a day or two. And I tell you, the homeless situation is probably a twofold thing, though. It's probably a mental issue, and it's also a financial issue, or both
uh-huh.
both combined together, where you have people who just don't know how to function anymore, or they've hit hard times where, you know, financially they aren't able to take care of themselves, or they've lost things. We really don't know why humans are, you know, end up homeless, or why they choose to go homeless, or maybe it's choice, maybe it's not choice. But we really don't know sometimes until we hear their stories. Some
mm-hmm.
some are very, very powerful stories. Some are very sad. Some are very, wow, you know. And it's a difficult time. If you ever end up homeless, it's probably really hard. It's very hard when you're trying to change your life and you can't seem to move forward. It's like treading in mud, probably. You know, I've never been homeless. You know, I can't speak for that. But I've met
yeah.
enough homeless, and I know friends who are homeless, and, you know, it's not easy. And when you're trying to battle your way out of that, and you have to go through all these other stuff, it could be really hard. And you're right. Can we feed the homeless people? Sure, we could. You know, but it makes me sad when city officials, they put, a ban on feeding the homeless. You know, in Florida, they did that in some
yeah.
of the counties there. And I'm like, what do you do with these people? Where are you gonna put them? I mean, what are you going to do? Are you just going to just put them in internment camps because they're homeless? You know, God forbid
right.
that you don't become homeless, you know, but it's really sad. It's really difficult.
It is difficult.
And I commend the young people who, like, try to create farms and try to do things. I've watched several videos where little kids have actually started gardens, and the gardens produce so much food that they're able to feed the homeless people in their communities. So we
mm-hmm.
have to take some kind of, you know, cue from the young, you know, generation. Maybe they have ideas that we're just overlooking. I think sometimes we get caught in our own old paradigms, and we think things have to be a certain way and we can't move from them. And so, you know, we fail to repeat, and we do again, and we repeat the, you know, the sins of the father. You know, we just keep doing it over and over.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at all the empty houses that, you know, when the housing economies crashed and a lot of people lost their homes, and there's a lot of vacant homes. They might not be in the best neighborhoods, but there's a lot of vacant homes that could be renovated and could be used as halfway houses to help house, you know, to get them back on their feet again.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And the city owns them. And they just,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're boarded up. They're empty houses, abandoned. They're boarded up windows. And it wouldn't take much to, you know, renovate the house to where you could.
Yeah.
How many people could live in it, you know, three or four bedrooms, and and use them as halfway houses to help people get on their feet somehow.
I think when there's,
you know,
when there's a will, there's a way.
Help those people to work in a, those very homeless people could work in a shelter that would help to feed other homeless people. You know,
sure.
You teach them how to help others and to help themselves. Now, if it's a mental thing, then, yeah, you're looking at, you know, somebody having to have medical care. And, you know, I'm sorry, but that should be available to people, too. And it shouldn't cost $800 or $1,000 a month. You know, I have a big problem with how the insurance companies and health insurance, healthcare facilities, how they really rob people. It's just a big racket. And I really don't understand why caps can't be put on people's, you know, the premiums that people pay. And it shouldn't cost, it should not cost what it costs for health insurance for a plan. And let alone for the medication either. So
mm-hmm.
I still think, you know, there's a lot of reform that's needed as far as in laws and aspects of the government, and money is definitely mismanaged. I mean, let the city pass a bill, you know, to keep the Short North Light, the arches lit. For how
mm-hmm.
much in electric does that cost every year? And you couldn't
right.
You can't turn those lights off in the Short North and help feed some homeless people or house them? Give me a break. There's something wrong there. People's priorities are in the wrong place there.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. There's we live in an illusionary world where we try to pretend like there's nothing wrong and there's nothing going on in the background,
mm-hmm.
yet there's a whole different, you know, society of people trying to, you know, figure out, you know, how to survive, you know. When
right.
when do we heal the individuals, heal the families, and heal the communities, heal society, heal the planet? When do we do that? When at what point do we decide that, you know, we have a problem,
yeah.
we have an issue that we have to work?
That is a priority. Right.
Human to save the human's lives should be important, you know, not to discount other creatures on this planet. But, you know, I think we all can coexist. I think we all could do better. We can all reach out and make things better. But, you know, part of that starts at home, too, and part of it starts in our communities, and part of it starts in the structure of politics and government that's been created before us. And, you know, some of these systems have been designed to keep us down. Some of these systems have been designed
mm-hmm.
to, you know, not let us move forward. And I get that. And that's nothing new. And I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said before, but when do we feed the homeless? When do we feed people who are down in their luck? You know, the thing is, we don't know when it's our turn. Hopefully it's
right.
never our turn. But it does happen.
Hey, it can happen in a blink of an eye. I could be a paycheck away from that happening to me. I've literally
sure.
seen, like, I live from paycheck to paycheck. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, for me, that's a reality that is extremely possible. And, you know, the older you get, the easier that that's possible. So,
sure.
you know, it's a lot easier the older you get. Because there's always someone younger with more energy, more ideas, you know, different skills that
mm-hmm.
take your place in the workforce. And that's just,
you can
that's
be replaced.
Just how it is. Well, that's just how,
yes,
that's
it is.
Just how it is. You know.
That's right.
So,
all right, let's
yeah.
take a really quick break, come back, and take a couple calls, and then we'll just keep moving on down the line here. So we shall return. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com,
your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to withinsightsradio.com.
Welcome back to With Insights Radio. You're listening to E. Garcia and Adriana Arts, Holistic Metaphysical Forum and Intuitive Readings. We're going to take a caller here and see where they're at, what's going on, see if they want to add anything to the show, contribute, or if they just want a reading. All right, I'm going to click on here. Hello, welcome to the show. Howdy, howdy, can you hear us? Hello, caller. Oh, they hung up. They must have got. We must have scared them off.
The call-in number is 646-595-3440.
That is correct. All right, I'm going to pull a card for you. You tell me when to stop.
Okay, stop.
Okay. Let's see if your intuitive powers are working. What card do I have?
I don't have intuitive powers that way.
Okay, if you had to guess what card am I holding, what am I holding?
If I had to guess,
You might get it. You never know.
Well, you never know. No. A wolf.
A wolf. You got a deer. That's pretty close to a wolf. It lives outside. So I pulled a card for you. I pulled the deer card. The deer is the pathfinder. Trust your instincts to guide you through the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your card. So the deer is just trying to say, be gentle, be quiet, and trust in your intuition. Trust in your instincts. Because you're probably
all
right.
All right.
Since we scared all the callers away.
Really,
they all got freaked out or something. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I said, we're going to take callers now. And they're like, they're probably like, don't put me on the air. Okay, really quick. I was reading here. Somebody put it in the chat room. Psychopaths are not born, not made. I mean, no, they're born, not made. Bad people are born, not made. It's just part of humanity's bell curve.
Uh-huh.
I think there's a half truth to that.
Uh-huh.
I think part of that's true and part of it's not.
That's
I do believe that some people. Yeah, I'm reading the chat room. I do believe that some people are born
chat.
With a predisposition to just do horrendous things. But here's the thing. Some people are born with that predisposition, that genetic makeup, but not necessarily all of them may necessarily act on it.
So what's the deciding factor as to why they would or would not act?
Well, here's the thing, you know, science tries to say that people are just born bad or people are just born psychopathic. Depending on what terminology you're using on certain people, I get what they're doing out. But I think some situations people become, they turn into something after so many struggles and so many, you know, things cause them to become psychopathic or become, you know, crazy or whatever, or schizopathic or whatever you want to call it. And then there's some people who are just capable of doing it. they don't have any trauma. They've never been beaten. There's nothing. I think it's just, it's a mixed bag. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think science could actually tell you, because without getting inside someone's brain and actually looking in there, you really, truly don't know. You and I talked about it the other day. We could be sitting right in the bus with somebody who's, you know, a serial killer, somebody who's done something. And you'd never know.
No.
Just because some kids are
next to a killer. Yeah. And, you know, that's somebody that looked just as normal as you or I. You'd never known that that person was a killer, but he was. I mean, I know that for a fact. He just looked just as normal and acted just as normal as you and I.
Yeah. I mean, there's no... I know doctors and stuff talk about certain things they would cause, or some people are just... But I think it's a half-truth. It's 50-50. I mean, there's part of that's true and part of it's not.
Uh-huh.
Without getting too crazy into it. But yeah, let's take a caller. For those of you who want a reading, 646-595-3440. And we're going to go here. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi, is this Iggy?
Hi. This
How
is
are
Iggy.
You? Yes.
Good.
I'm
Who's
hoping
this?
To. This is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
And
welcome.
I'm hoping to get one of your intuitive readings. Okay. Do you have to ask any questions, or are you just going to tune in?
You know, it's kind of up to you. I mean, what would you like me to do? What would you like Adriana to do? Do you have a question?
Well, yes, I kind of have a question, more kind of like a shamanism question. I recently had abdominal surgery, 3 weeks ago. And most of the operation, I think, was taking out previous scar tissue from a car accident that I was in like when I was 19 years old. So at 19, you know, not being all that spiritual and not really being aware of this spiritual healing, especially over the trauma that I received. Do you feel that maybe with this most recent operation to heal like an old injury, maybe I would be feeling a lot of the pain from the previous accident? I don't know if that's got you all confused, but it just seems like there's a lot of emotional pain.
Mm-hmm. So you ended up putting it all down in your gut.
Yeah, I don't think I ever had that awareness until, you know, my second half of life, how important it is to release that trauma. And I don't really even think that I ever thought that much about a car accident and the injury until I had the recent operation 2 weeks ago. Never really gave too much of a thought.
So your surgery was to remove some scar tissue.
My surgery, actually, it was to repair a hiatal hernia. But for them to get to the repair, they had to remove all the scar tissue from the car accident in 1974. So I just really think a lot of the healing that I'm going through is more from the trauma from the car accident in 1974 than maybe this past operation of 2 weeks ago.
Well, the trauma that you suffered in 1974, of course, you've carried that for, quite some time.
Exactly.
So it's probably here's something that I kind of picked up when you were talking about that. I was listening to what you were saying about the trauma of 1974, and a squirrel popped in my head. And I'm thinking to myself, why is a squirrel popping into my head about this particular situation? And, well, what's been happening is that you've been in preparation to get you to this change that you have now, you know, into your body, you know, to do that surgery. You know, if you know anything about squirrels, they gather every year, they prepare themselves for winter, they kind of do everything very, it looks like they're just always having fun, but actually they're pretty busy. They're pretty busy little creatures. And squirrels, I guess the squirrel's here to remind me to tell you is that you're still in preparation for some more healing. They've got some more work to do. And this healing is to actually, but the healing's going to be through fun and play and dancing and singing, whatever you are called to do, okay? Because 74 is actually gone now, and now another part of 74 has been released out of you. So now you have to feel back. What were you doing before 74? I mean, what happened before the accident? What was your life like?
I was trying to recall that because a lot of that is just like pop back into my head, and I'm trying to recall, you know, what I looked mm-hmm. like, where I was working, what I was doing. You know, I was living back home, just recently graduated from high school. So,
mm-hmm. I just feel like impact, like boom, I feel that impact. I can feel it, the impact, like where you, it just like, you know, just got seared in there, like you were branded, you know, it feels like, but now there's an opportunity to move that branding out of you. And now that you have had the hernia, ask yourself, you know, the hernia is also, your body's been trying to talk to you about issues in your gut, about making decisions, things that you have. Sometimes we second guess ourselves, you know, we don't trust, you know, what our mind is saying. And your gut is one of those things that's always reminding you. See, now you're back into the gut again. You're back in 2018, 2017. You're back in your gut again. So this is a recurring theme that keeps popping back every year, you know, since 74 to now.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have to address it again, okay? There's parts of you who you're not trusting in yourself. You have to trust in the process. If you feel, and if you don't know, and my favorite word is to guess. Sometimes you have to guess things, even if you don't think you're going to move forward through it. Now, the squirrel is about preparation. There's some preparation work that you're doing here, something to get you ready. You're going to have to, you know, address some traumas about that situation. 74 is gone now. So we can't really go back there except maybe into the frozen aspects of yourselves where we're locked in that emotional state. And with that emotional state where you were just locked, boom, you were locked right there. Okay, you carried that for a long time. There's a part of you that doesn't trust a part of you about that particular moment in time. Without having a real session with you, sitting down with you and talking with you and to go deeper with it, I'm kind of only catching pieces and parts, but there's big changes coming. I do feel that. I don't know what they are particularly, but the squirrels are telling me that you have to prepare for these changes. These changes can be very, very good. They're not necessarily bad, but there's going to be some changes coming your way. But you're going to have to address some emotional issues about your past, some things that you've hidden. You've totally blocked it off. I mean, from just talking to you here on the air, you're totally shut down. At that point, there's a lot of stuff that you just did not want to address and see. And I would really like to sit with you sometime and just maybe talk to you and maybe go a little deeper without me.
Sure.
This is something that I think we'd have to do off the air and have a session with you.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. I will definitely be in contact. So it's all good.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you guys have a great evening.
All right, Karen.
I appreciate your time.
All right,
okay. Have a good evening. Bye.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuck energy there. I can feel it. It's like I couldn't even, it wouldn't even let me in. I don't know what you picked up, Adriana, but I could feel it. I mean, I was trying to go in there and it wouldn't let me. It's too personal.
I don't know if she's still listening, but there is a, I actually had laid some cards for her, and in these cards, there's a message that is supposed to come directly to her home, whether it's written in a letter or a phone call. But there's some anxiety around this message, and this message comes from a dark-haired, dark-eyed woman. Around it, though, there's some worry and anxiety about this message, but there also seems to be a friend or a person from her past very fair-haired, light-haired, light-eyed woman. There was a lot of friendship and love, like a really good old friend that's getting ready to come, I think, back into this woman's life for some reason. So maybe it's part of her healing when this person from her past shows up, that this woman will be light-haired and light-eyed. And there's a bond of friendship, like a kindred love with this person from her past that shows up. So I'm not sure how that ties into her healing, but maybe the issue, had to do with this woman in the past. I don't know, but this woman comes back, mm-hmm. and this is actually a good thing. So.
Good. Yeah, no, but she'll I'll pass that message along to her.
Yeah.
I'll pass that message along to her. It's here, but yeah, that's important. That's important to know. All right, call in number 646-595-3440 for those of you who want a reading. It's Iggy and Adriana. We're here live on the air in Columbus, Ohio, an undisclosed location in the universe. You know, winter's been difficult for people, so maybe this is a good time for people to, you know, start to, you know, project forward. Let me ask you a question. Do you kind of goal set? What's your thoughts on goal setting?
You mean like for New Year's resolutions?
No, just, I mean, that's usually what people do, but I'm talking about goal setting in general.
I don't know that I would call it goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
I visualize. I have visuals of things that I would like to see or manifest. And usually if I see it more than once or twice, it usually does manifest. But to set goals, I don't go overboard, but I have some things that I want to do, you know, like within a year or two. So I guess so. Just, I don't overdo it. I don't put unrealistic goals. How's that? I don't have unrealistic goals. I don't overburden myself with goals.
I find sometimes people set goals too high, you know. I mean, because I was thinking about that today, too, you know. I was thinking, you know, maybe I need to set some goals, blah, 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 because I do that from time to time. But I'm thinking, well, maybe have some goals can become really unrealistic to the point where, you know, the bar is too high. You set the bar way too high, and then you fail or you don't succeed. And then the idea is to reset them again. But I think sometimes if we set smaller goals, something that's really, you know, attainable, you know, something we can move to, it becomes more easier and more comfortable in order for us to move through the goals. I know there's a lot of schools of thought, you know, on goal setting. Some people are like, well, goal setting, yeah, and goal setting, no, but it's not really goal setting. It's a different type of approach about it. So I don't know. So I was just trying to get a little idea from you, see what you thought. Mm-hmm. I think for some people, goal setting is important. They need a direction, they need a map, and they need to go. And I think some people can hold goals in their mind, and they keep it there. Not everybody's good at that. A lot of people aren't good at that. They're limited. One little situation throws them off, and then all of a sudden that goal gets shot out the window. But I think as human beings, I think sometimes we need to see things in order for us to, you know, visually. It's kind of like, when we look at a picture of Florida, we want to go to Florida because it's nice and beautiful and warm right now. You know, there's a goal there. You know, we're looking at, okay, that's where I want to be, you know. The job is to set a date when you want to go. And I think that's what we do. I don't think we don't teach our kids, you know, number one, the financial aspects of how to be an adult. You know, we don't teach our kids to have expectations to do better. You know, we teach our kids math, reading, writing, you know, all that stuff that comes with it. But we don't really teach our kids in this community, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe they do now, but we don't really teach them to, you know, navigate the world of, you know, adult life. You know, going to college, getting drunk, and, you know, sleeping for as many people as you want to sleep with. That's not realistic. That's not life. That's just a part of it.
That's,
you know, because once that's
thing.
Done, once you're yeah, not everybody goes to college. Not everybody goes to school. That's the myth. That's the illusion. Mm-hmm. Not everybody goes to school. Some people do. And what about those people? So, you know, I watched this commercial on TV the other day, and they say, your dumb classmate, you're the guy that got, who was the last guy in class, whatever, he was not the valedictorian, is a billionaire because he knows how to have fun and how to have a good time, you know? And then the valedictorian is like broke, you know, he has no money because he's too brainy. He's too in his head.
Uh-huh.
But yet the guy who, you know, was last in his class, you know, he seems to be the most successful. So I find that interesting. That's an interesting topic for me. That's something I find pretty interesting, like three times.
Yeah, well, I agree. Don't overdo it with the goals. I mean, yes, I think you should have something that you look forward to or that you want to try to obtain. Yeah, it gives you something mm-hmm. to work towards, that you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to be unrealistic about it. You don't want to have 20 mm-hmm. goals, you know.
Right.
Start out with what you can handle. If you can build yourself up to 10 and 20 goals and achieving them, then good. It's just like starting out on an exercise regime. You know, you got to...
You're right.
You start out slow, and then you build up as you go a little bit more each day. You can add a little bit more each day. And that's kind of how you go about obtaining a goal.
And that's why you don't struggle. That way you don't burn out. That way you don't get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing those exercises that you sent me, you know, it's easier when you do
mm-hmm.
it little by little, and each day you add to it, like you said, and, you know, your body starts to be conditioned, you know, you start to do better, and then you start to see results. The biggest thing, people don't see results are fast. You know, we don't see results right away, so we're like, oh, I don't know, see any results. But you're right at you're right at the precipice, you're right at the top, and you're ready to go over the mountain to see the results. And so many of us get to the top, and we quit, and we stop. And we don't go any further. And I'm like, oh, it doesn't work. Blah, blah, blah. Bang. Number one, you know,
mm-hmm.
those exercise routines, you know, are not, they're not really scientifically proven that, you know, within 3 days you're going to look good. But some people look good in 3 days. Some people look good in 5 days. Some people take some half
uh-huh.
the month to look good, you know, even if they were
uh-huh.
decent in shape. You know, it's their diet. Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? You tried to get me on this last time, and I kind of, like, floundered a little bit. But now I've been pretty religiously on it.
Uh-huh.
I've been pretty religiously on it, and, you know, it feels good. I can see the difference. I can tell where things are tightening up, you know, and I still got a long ways
uh-huh.
to go. But it's one of those things that's going to be part of my life, part of my routine now, that I'm going to keep doing it, because the last thing I want to do is revert back to where I was, because that was uncomfortable. That was a place where I didn't like to be, and that was a place that I wasn't confident, you know, and there was a parts of me that didn't like that. But I feel good,
uh-huh.
and I feel better, and I feel more energetic, and I feel more energized, and I feel like, you know, doing more.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I tried those yoga poses. I did some of them, but I couldn't do it. The other ones I couldn't even do. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so inflexible. What the hell?
Well, there's a couple of those that I can't do, and I'm pretty flexible, but you have to work up to them. That's the way I look at it.
My body's like, what are you doing, man? It's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to get us back to 30. No way, man. That's not going to happen.
Tell your body, yes, it will. It's just going to have to take a little bit of time.
It's fighting me. It's like, Ignacio Garcia, well, what are you doing?
It's,
just sit
you know,
down and have another piece of cake, man.
You know, I had another king dong.
You had a king dong? I haven't had a king dong ever.
Yeah. I'm
about to try one.
I mean, I see him in the store, and it's hard to walk past the aisle. But
I almost choked on ho-hos when I was in high school. We had a ho-ho eating contest, and I had so many ho-hos in my mouth, I couldn't even breathe. My mouth was so full of them. They had to make a hole with a pencil all the way through just so the air, like, breathe through my mouth. It was funny. It wasn't funny then, but it's funny now. I was the king, no, the ho-ho champion. Something to write home about, huh? No, but, you know, I mean, you're right. You know, it's just, you just got to know what's best for you.
Yeah.
Got to know what's best
for
you.
Well, you know, all good things take a little bit of work. So.
It's just true.
Look at it that way.
Yep. All good things take a little work. I'm work in progress.
Yeah, I think we all are. I definitely am.
So what are you planning to do this year? What's your goals this year? What's your New Year's resolution? Oh, I'm sorry. Yours is in March, right? I forgot. But what's your March resolution?
You know, I really don't make resolutions because that kind of puts me on a time frame, and I don't like to be on a time frame for anything. So I don't really do resolutions. I do want to move, but I want to find a small house, and a little bit of land, I think. So will that happen in a year? I don't know, but I know I'm going to be looking for it to happen somehow. You know, I have to do one of those visual boards, you know, and put little pictures up and look at it every day and manifest it that way, then maybe I'll try it that, you know. But for me, it's just about getting, I want a place with a little bit of land to where I can plant food and, you know, garden and just be able to just do a few things.
Nice.
For myself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really don't, you know, I don't need or want a whole lot. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm pretty simple as far as what it takes to make me happy.
Sure.
You know, I don't need a big mansion on a hill. All that's just not who I am. I'm not that materialistic person. I'd much rather just have a piece of land and be able to grow food on it and camp out on it and things like that. So for me, that's not the only thing that I really want right now in my life that I want to either work towards or manifest somehow.
Nice.
But to have it on a time frame, I don't have it on a time frame. You know,
right.
Life happens, and things usually come up in my life that derail a train if I'm on one. So I try not to actually get on the train.
Sure.
I know how things happen in my life. So.
Hmm.
What about you?
Well, you know your life better. Well, you know what? Last year, I actually started filling my calendar with events and things that I was going to do. And one of my desires was to actually learn how to communicate what I teach, how I talk to people. Because I find that in the holistic community, sometimes we overtalk people. We talk over people's head. You know, we know what we're talking about. We get what we're doing. But the average Joe and you know, Jane, they don't get the language. So you got to kind of come. I have to come from a place that they understand. So he, she, said, whatever, that's normal. You have to talk the average person's language first before you can actually indoctrinate them and teach them what it means to be enlightened, what it means to be awakened, to be, you know, moving into space. So I've dedicated myself to speak the language of the average person and teach them, you know, what I do through drumming, through shamanic practices, through holistic metaphysical practices. Because I watched myself that a lot of people don't get sometimes what I'm saying. They understand that how they feel after they've been through the process with me. But a lot of people don't, you know, it's kind of like astrologers. They're notorious for this. They get all the dialogue. They know all the left node, right node, you know, this house, that house. But the average person doesn't understand that. So I was thinking the other day, I was going, well, maybe people don't understand me either. You know, maybe they don't get me. Maybe they don't understand what it means, all my relations, what it means to be one and to be that we're all connected, that we're all the same, that we're all part of the universe, that we're all part of this. And so I was thinking, you know, a lot of people don't understand that concept because they've been raised in a certain way where they had to pray to one deity, to a God, and to believe in Jesus, and that's the way it was. And, you know, there was, and if you were anything other than that, then that's a blasphemy, you know. We don't really use that word anymore because we don't come from that space too much anymore. But I started to understand that, you know, my goal is to communicate better and to, you know, try to teach better because the average person does not understand what it means to be enlightened. I mean, I remember when I had a hard time understanding what that meant or having an awakening moment, you know, to just even being present in the moment, I had a hard time because I was too in my head about the past and the present and the future. So I can imagine what the person who's coming in and wants to learn about it. So one of my ambitions is to teach people to speak the language that we speak because a lot of people don't get it. And that's why there's not a lot of people into what we do sometimes and then why there's small groups of people into it because we talk over people's heads. And they all do it. The tarot reader does it. You know, the person who teaches that, the person who teaches this, they overtalk their client. They overtalk the people they're trying to teach. They're trying to send a message to, you know, it's like aliens coming from outer space trying to tell us what their planet's like and we don't speak their language. It really is. And it took me a long time to understand that. And I try to tell that to my community and I try to teach that, you know, even to the people who teach this. Some people don't understand us. They don't speak our language. They feel connected to what we're talking about. They feel a resonance to it. So that's what I'm trying to do, Adriana. I'm trying to portray and teach and show in a way where people are understanding and bring it to more of a layperson's understanding of what we do. Like the drum circles, for example, you know, you've been to many of my drum circles and we've you know, facilitated together and co-hosted. We know that some people like structure and some people just want to go with the flow. And over time, we found out that if you have a light structure, people learn more and they learn better and they feel comfortable. But if you tell them, you have to do this, you have to do that, but you have to do this, you have to do that, then you know what? You lose them. Not all of them, but the majority of them you do. You lose a majority of them because they already don't want to be part of structure. They want to be out of structure. And the illusion is that the metaphysical and the holistic community is out of structure. It doesn't have that same structure as trying to teach somebody, you know, out of a book. So that's what my goal is. My goal is to teach better, communicate better, and try to relay the message of what it means to be all my relations to people without people feeling that they have to be a killer. There are people who don't believe in all my relations because they cannot see themselves connected to somebody who murdered 50 people, okay? They can't see themselves connected to Adolf Hitler. They can't see themselves connected to Donald Trump. There are people who don't think they're as good as Oprah Winfrey or Mother Teresa. They don't think they're worthy of that. So we have to teach people and embrace them and explain to them what it really truly means. Some people get it, some people don't. Some people might never get it. But it's my attitude. It's my attitude how I teach that and how I embrace that. because it's only pieces and parts of us. You and I are part of the universe. Yeah, I get that. But not everybody gets that. We're all part of the universe. That's the first thing they use when they make fun of people who are hippies. They call us hippies, right? That's the first thing they say, oh, yeah, the universe, man. Oh, yeah, man, we're all part of the universe. We get what we're saying, but the average Joe, average Jane don't. That's my goal this year, is to teach better.
Well, that's a good goal to have.
And I think it's a powerful one. I think it's worthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you'll do fine.
And I have good friends to join me along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, any closing thoughts? We're running out of time pretty quickly here.
Stay bundled up, stay warm, stay safe. Be careful on the path that you're driving on or walking.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a little slippery out there.
Yes, it can.
It's a new year, new you. And you do what you got to do to make yourself feel better. So. That's it.
And I'm just going to echo what you said. You know, new you, new year. You make the choice.
Mm-hmm.
If you get triggered, move through the triggers. Learn how to change through them. You know, I really appreciate you being on the air, and I'm glad that we get to kick off the 2018 year together doing the show. It's always a pleasure. And
Me too.
We'll see you at a drum circle. We'll see you at an event. And we'll talk some more. And with that, I'll just say good night then.
I want to
thank everybody for tuning
in.
Good night, Adriana. Thank you for being on the air with me.
Thank you,
everybody, for listening and tuning in. And we'll see you guys next time on With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia with Adriana Arts, and we hope you enjoy the show. And just go out there and do your best. Have fun. Enjoy what you've created. Enjoy the things you're going to be creating. And with that, peace and love, 1, 2, 3. I'm out of here. Ho'oponopono. Much love.
All right. Peace and love.